One thing I want to do today is honor rather than bash, all right? It seems like on Mother's Day we have roses and everything that smells good and sweetness and everything. And then what happens on Father's Day is they get a lashing from the pulpit. That's not going to happen, all right? Because being a dad is tough. It's hard. You got to really want it. And we make mistakes. We strive to do the best that we can. But we love being dads. And so today we're going to do that. We're going to celebrate that fact. And my dad has helped me out a lot. And this is my dad, Kenneth McDonald, Kenneth Ray McDonald. He died almost 3 years ago in October, this coming October. But that man spoke more into my life than any human being on the face of the earth. And the reason why is not because he was a strong individual. The reason why is not because he was full of wisdom or that he could do anything. The reason why is because he led an example for me. He blazed a trail for me. In his suffering, he was still teaching. In his loneliness, he was still showing me how to be a man. He is the greatest man I know. And I love my dad to death. He is affectionately known as Mushy McDonald. I don't know where that came from. Don't know how that happened. I asked at all his oldest friends at his funeral, where did this come from? I have no idea. I heard all kinds of different ways. I don't know. So lots of different stories about that. But even in the phone book, it had Kenneth Mushy McDonald. And matter of fact, a lot of his older friends, or some of his newer friends, rather, never knew what his first name was. Just called him Mushy. Mushy Mac. And Dad, he lived in a complex, and he lived in an apartment complex. And he was kind of the complex dad, if you will. He would go around and check with ladies that were widows, older ladies, to check and see how they were doing, if they needed anything. He would call them all the time and go to their house and just check up on them. My dad was an awesome, awesome guy. And my dad, my mother, and my father divorced when I was 4 years old. So I only have about 2 to 3 memories of my mom and dad ever being together. But I have a lifetime of memories of my dad investing into me. And so I want to, honor my dad and all of you guys that have dads that are gone, honor them as well. And I want to talk about life lessons from Mushy Mac. What he taught me, I want to give to you. So are you guys ready? All right, life lesson number one. You will never be a man until you are a man of your word. My dad pumped that into me every single time he saw me. Every chance he got, he would pump that into me. Numbers 30, verse 2 says this. When a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he said. Dads, when we tell our kids that we're going to do something with them or for them, we need to follow through with it, right? A few weeks ago, I had the boys, when it gets warm and the ice starts melting, okay, Dad, when are we going fishing? We tried the ice fishing thing. That's not for me. I'm not doing that. So Pastor Gerald took us out, and it was a ton of work drilling. We drilled, a dozen holes or something like that? We had one guy scooping, the other guy taking the ice off the. I'm like, forget this, man, for a fish this size? What is going on, I mean, we drove out on the ice. We risk our lives for a fish that big. Come on. Come on. Now, if you want to go fishing, and Ross Melts back here, he's got it down. All right. I wish I would have brought that picture of that big walleye I caught. But anyway, that guy can put you on him. And but anyway, I my boys started asking me about going fishing, and one day I told them, I said, we'll go this day. Well, that day happened to be a very long day, and got home, did not want to go fishing at all, not at all. And as soon as I got out of the truck, hey, Dad, I'm like, what? I knew it was coming. Let's go fishing. So I went inside and sat down for a little bit, and I hem-hawed around about it, and I was like, man, I told him I was going to do it. So I said, all right, let's get in the truck. So I had to go a couple of different places to get a fishing license and some other stuff. I can't remember. Oh, it's worms. We're trying to find worms. Couldn't find worms. Finally, I mean, it was bad enough. I was tired. We're already in the truck, and couldn't find worms. Finally found them at Walmart. Got in the truck, went down to Rivers Bend down here, and started fishing. And I was just kind of not into it, but just kind of chunking it out there. I caught a bass, and all of a sudden the boys were like, okay, I'm using what you're using. And so they're tying up. And if you would show that picture up here, this is the result of that. Christian caught a good-sized bass right there. See, if you hold it up closer to the camera, it makes it bigger. That fish is really that big. But this is what happens when you just suck it up and do it. You create memories like that. Now, if you'll notice, Josh was in the background back there with his face turned toward the water because he hadn't caught anything yet, and he was pretty irritated the whole time. So he didn't create memories that day. He forgot about that whole entire day. But it's funny, though, because Joshua is usually the one that's catching fish. And but the roles were reversed, and Joshua was not a very gracious loser that day. So especially when Christian's holding it up, hey, look what I got, look what I got. So, but anyway, whenever we say that we're going to do something, we need to honor our word. Whether it's taking them fishing or hunting or golfing or whatever it is that you do with your kids, it may not seem like much to you, but to them, they've been waiting all day long. Amen? And see, I learned that not because I watched Leave It to Beaver on television. I learned it because my dad demonstrated this to me. I remember when I was 12 years old, my dad had, I'd worked all summer long to save up my money to buy a 30-30. And I bought it, man. I had it. I bought the scope and everything. And we went and sighted it in. It was dead on. And I was ready for my first youth hunt. And my dad was excited about it. That day, I had oiled that gun. I meant to bring the gun and forgot it. But that day, I oiled the gun. I cleaned that barrel so many times that I thinned the barrel out. I mean, I was just cleaning this thing over and over and over again. I was ready to go. Had my bags packed. It was 9 o'clock at night. I was about to go to bed, and the phone rang. It was my dad. My dad said, son, I'm sick. I can't make it. I can't come and get you. And, man, that devastated me. And my dad, for those that don't know, he suffered many years with liver disease due to a blood transfusion. And he wound up dying because of that. But my dad, all of my life, I've known him to be sick, not healthy, but very sick and ill all the time. And so when my dad calls to tell me that he's sick, it's not because he has a headache that he's sick. It's because he's really, really sick. And so I felt bad for my dad. I got off the phone, and I was bummed out. I mean, here's the gun right beside the front door. My bags are packed, camos right there, everything, you know, fishing license in the back of my pocket, been there for a month. And I had some tears rolling down my face, and I was about ready to go to bed, and the phone rang again. It was my dad. And he said, son, I know that every boy will never forget his first hunting trip, and so I want you to get your bags packed. I'm coming to get you. And so he came to get me. I can't imagine that day what he must have put aside in his body and the pain in his body in order to keep his word to his son. Those things will always be with me because my dad taught me those things even while he wasn't trying to. He just was doing what he does. My dad wasn't perfect. He made mistakes. I've made mistakes. We all make mistakes. But he always, always, always tried to keep his word. And he knew that the best way to keep his word was to come to sporting events when he said he was going to. Because my dad lived out of town, and so for him to come in was this huge thing. And so he was teaching me even when I didn't even know it. My dad never sat down and opened a book and said, today I'm going to teach you how to be a man. He just opened up his life, and he taught me from experience. And dads, today I encourage you to open up your life and teach your children by experience, by the way you do things. Some of you today may have adult kids that are gone and off. Your influence never wanes just because they're adults. Continue to teach, continue to mentor, to continue to live your life and be a man of your word. Amen? Now, life lesson number two. Don't be afraid to apologize to your kids when you've done something wrong, when you goofed up. I've ate a lot of crow in my day, and I don't like the taste of it at all. I like the taste of steak. I like the taste of success. I like the taste of my kids going, "Yay, Dad!" But there are oftentimes, too, when I've made mistakes in my life where I've goofed up, and I've had to go into their rooms and apologize to them for goofing up. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says this, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." My dad, one day, I was 16 years old. And my dad and I were looking for cars to buy for me. And I told him I wanted a Mustang. And he had a guy that lived down the road for him had just put up a nice blue Mustang for sale. My dad calls me up. He said, "You better get down here real quick. Let's go take a look at it." And one of the requirements for my dad for me to get a car was I had to have a job. And so I got a job so that I could get a car. And I had saved up, I think, $500 or $600 to put as a down payment. And my dad and I went over and looked at the car. It was awesome. Got in it, drove it. It was $1,500, and dad got him down to $1,200. I thought, man, it's awesome. I'm going to get a $1,200 car, you know? And so my dad, we came back, and he said, "Do you like the car?" I said, "Yes, I like it." He called the bank, and he said, "Would you transfer $1,200 into my account?" And he hung up the phone. Now, at 16 years old, that amazed me. I said, "You can just call up a bank like that and ask for $1,200, and they'll put it in your account." And he goes, "Not you, me." And I said, "How is that possible?" And he said, "Well, son, you have to prove yourself. You have to prove yourself faithful that you can pay your bills." And I went, "Oh, okay. Can I call him up right now and see if I can get $1,200? "No, this is how you earn it right here. You're going to start paying your bills right now." So we went and paid the guy, and I drove off into my car. Went to my girlfriend's house, showed it off. Went to all my guys, you know, buddies, and showed it off. And it came a weekend to go up to my dad's because I went over there every other weekend. And my dad called me up, and he said, "You're late. How come you're not coming?" I said, "Dad, I've got a date, and I'm going out in my car." And he is like, "Oh, I see how it is." He said, "Now that Dad got you a car, you're going to forsake your dad and just toss your dad to the side. I know how it is." And he was angry at me. And for my dad's very mild manner, for my dad to raise his voice and to say that in that kind of tone, it was never heard of. And so he raised his voice at me and spoke those words to me. And my girlfriend happened to be sitting right beside me at the house. And he hung up on me. And I couldn't help it. Tears started flowing down my face. I was trying to hide it. But my mother was in the room as well, so she could see that I was upset. And I got up and went into the bathroom. And, of course, you know, kind of, I didn't want anybody to see me cry, but it devastated me that my dad spoke to me that way. 5 minutes later, phone rings. It's my dad again. And I started apologizing. I said, "Dad, I'm coming. I'm going to be there. I've canceled that. I'm coming. I'm going to be there." And he said, "No." He said, "You keep your date." He said, "I want to apologize to you." He said, "The way I spoke to you, I should not have spoke those things to you." He said, "I've never talked to you like that before." And he said, "I won't do it again. I'm sorry. I messed up." That's the first time that an adult has ever apologized to me at 16 years old. I couldn't believe it. And I said, he goes, "Hello?" And I went, "Yeah." I said, "I don't know what to say, Dad. I, And he said, "I'm sorry, son. I was wrong. I was wrong for that." He said, "You keep your date. You deserve it." And so my dad apologized to me. And so because of that, I have learned from that how to apologize to my kids, or how to apologize to anybody for that fact. To apologize, to say you're sorry, to not well up, because you know, dads, you know how it is. We're prideful guys. We want it. Our word is our bond. When we raise our voice and we say this is the way it is. Whether you're right or wrong, this is the way it is, right? And so, and our loud voice declares that we're right, you know. And so, just because we have a loud voice and we're very serious, we can also be seriously wrong. And I want to encourage you to swallow your pride, eat crow like a man, and say you're sorry. Amen. Sometimes the supper of the day is crow, and sometimes we've got to eat it. Because even in our mistakes, we're teaching our children how to be a man, how to be a woman as well. We're teaching our children, all right? Life lesson number three. Just because you may be divorced or your kids have moved away doesn't mean your influence has diminished at all. Don't focus on the times that you don't get to see them. Instead, focus on the times that you do get to spend with them. Because kids spell love, not L-O-V-E, but T-I-M-E. Time. I want to encourage you to spend time with your kids. Even though you may be working or you're busy or whatever it is, we have a rule in our house that Dana and I, we take turns, you know, putting the kids to bed. And sometimes we fight over whose turn it is. And sometimes I try to get Dana to do it twice in a row. I know, that's terrible. And sometimes I go as much as three times in a row, and I love it. So, but, yeah, see. But what we do is that we go and we pray over our kids every night. And until they get tired of it, we'll continue to do it. Because I want to set that example to them. And even though that I'm in there, and listen, you guys look at me as your pastor, and you should, but my son doesn't look at me as his pastor. He doesn't call me Pastor Jimmy. He calls me Dad. And I want my sons to know that when we pray together, there's power in that. And it's a special time between you and your kids. If you haven't been praying over your kids, I encourage you to pray over them. It's a powerful time. I know that, Jonathan, you guys call it circle time, don't you? Yep. And you're praying over your kids. You're praying over your wife. You're praying and you're influencing your kids even right there. You see, we don't sit down with a book that's called How to Be a Man. We just live it out. We live it out. And so even though that you are divorced, or maybe you have kids that are grown up and you don't get to see your kids all the time, use the time that you do have. Just because you're divorced doesn't mean that your influence has diminished. It doesn't mean that you abdicate your role as a dad. It just means that you have to be more focused. Amen? It means that you have to be more focused on what is at hand to do. And my dad, again, was a shining example of that. Because he taught me how to do those things. Even as, like I said, I only had memories, about two or three memories of them ever being married, my mom and my dad. But just because he was divorced from my mother doesn't mean that he was divorced from me or my brothers and sister. He was always there for us. Even when he was sick, he was there. And if he wasn't there, he was calling. Saying, "Son, I heard about the game. It was, you know, from the hospital. I heard about the game. I listened to it on the radio, and I heard you score those 18 points. That is awesome, son." I'm just throwing out my stats there. I don't know, whatever. I'll work the rest of it in too. So, life lesson number four: be a giver. Be a giver. My dad, when I was a principal at a private school, we did this big thing on TV to help raise money, and we stayed on TV for about 4 hours, and there was all kinds of singing and you know, the school and all those different things, and just to raise money for scholarships and to build a new school. And my dad called in, and he pledged $10 to the school, 10 bucks. Now, my dad, I remember him working a little bit, but for the most part, he had been on disability almost his entire adult life because of his condition. My dad only made $786 a month. That's what he made. And I called my dad afterwards, and I said, "Dad, I said, you don't have to do that." And he said, "Son, you let me worry about my finances." And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "I want to give because I felt God tell me to give." I said, "Then, by all means, give." And so he didn't give just that one time. He gave for 4 years. 4 years monthly, $10 every single month. He gave so much that my pastor at the time asked him to come to church because he wanted to recognize my dad. My dad wanted no part of it. And I finally convinced him to come, and he received the plaque as a faithful donor. My dad gave $10 a month all the way up until I stepped down. And then about a year after I stepped down, I got a call from my former pastor, and he said, "I want you to know that your dad is still giving $10 a month." And I called my dad, and I said, "Dad, you know you don't have to do that anymore." And he said, "You let me worry about my finances." And I said, "Yes, sir, I will do that." And so he was faithful in that $10, faithful in that $10 every single month. So my question is, what are you doing with your $10? What are you doing with your giving? What are you doing with the time that you have? Be a giver. Give to your kids, not to the point where you spoil them, but give to your kids who you are, because what you are will continue on in your kids even after you're long gone. If you would you put that picture of my dad's headstone up there? This is my dad's headstone. My dad is a diehard Tennessee fan. Diehard. And this is his, Kenneth Ray McDonald. I did put Mushy up there. It's right above the inscription at the top. It says this: a man who outlived his life. A man who outlived his life. My dad told me before he died, "Don't do anything special. Don't get me this huge headstone, the gaudy headstone. Just get me something that matches my mom and dad and be done with it." And I said, "Okay." And his influence in my life is summed up in that inscription, a man who outlived his life. Because what my dad has taught me, even though he is gone, still remains inside of me. What you do, what you say, how you act, the way you conduct yourself will never leave your children. You only got one shot at it. Do your best. Amen? Do your best. Lastly, my dad taught me how to handle adversity and failure. He didn't again set me down and teach me how to go through adversity. He showed me. My dad is sick, has been sick for all his life, but he taught me how to go through life even when life wants to seem to go through you, to tear you down. My dad dealt with a lot of depression because he was alone a lot and that he hurt all the time. If you look into his medicine cabinet, it looked like a pharmacy. I mean, he had to have all of this stuff to keep him alive. But my dad taught me, even though he had to take all this medication and was sick all the time, he always said, "Jimmy, I know God has a plan for my life and for all of this suffering." And he said, "I don't know what it is, but I know and I trust God that he has a plan for all of this, because God doesn't just do this without any kind of reason." And I said, "Well, I can tell you, Dad, what the reason is. You're teaching your kids how to go through adversity and honor God at the same time." And I said, "Dad, you are a very wise man. You have influenced my life. And I told this to my dad as he was dying. I told my dad that he had influenced my life more than any other person on the face of the earth. And that he had succeeded more famously than anybody that I know how to be a good dad. Even when you don't have anything. When we were going through my dad's things after he had died, my dad, we threw away his couch, we threw away his chair, we threw away his table, we threw away his bed, we donated it to ministries. But my dad had really nothing of value in his home. He even had a safety deposit box that he had been paying on for all of these years, and all he had in it was a bunch of old quarters. And I'm like, what is this, you know? Why do you do this, Dad? I don't understand this. And I took it to a guy here in town that deals in old coins and stuff, and the total added up to $57. That's my dad. That's just the way he is. My dad was an organized hoarder. He had all of his old bills that meant nothing categorized in containers, rubber bands around it. I'm like, Dad, what are you doing? You know, what is the deal with all this stuff? And if he saw me throwing this away, he would have a conniption, you know. That's my dad. That's the way he was. That's Mushy Mac. He taught us that even in the midst of suffering and hurt and depression, how to honor God and still be hurting. He taught us those things. He taught me that. And because of that, I stand before you the man I am today because of my dad. And I want to encourage dads as we all stand up this morning. I want to encourage dads this. Even in your failure, even when you think you're the weakest, you can still have an influence on your kids. There's no more noble, no more lofty thing, no more wonderful thing to aspire to in our lives as fathers, as teaching your kids how to be successful in this life. Not monetarily, but how to be human beings of their word. Teaching them how to cope with adversity in their life. Teaching them that even though they failed, they still can succeed. You know, Thomas Edison once said, I didn't fail 1,000 times to try to make a light bulb. I discovered 1,000 ways not to make a light bulb. It's the way that we look at life. It's the way that we approach it. Even in our failures, let your kids see that you're hurting. Let your kids see that you cry. Let your kids see that you're weak sometimes. Because being a man and being a father isn't about strength. It's about being who you are and not being apologetic for it. Let your kids see the tenderness in your voice. Let them feel your arms wrapped around you. If you notice the picture of my dad, if you put that back up there, notice where my dad's arms are. They're behind him like this. And the reason why is because my dad grew up in an alcoholic home where his father never told him that he loved him at all. Never. Never hugged him, never told him that he was proud of him. My dad, for the longest time, didn't know how to show affection. He always, in those pictures, he always had his hand behind his back because he didn't know what to do. And as I go to my dad's house, and at the end of every conversation, I would always, because I'm older now, and my dad was a wee little man, I would grab him, both shoulders, and pull him into my chest, and I would bear hug him. And he would squirm like a wild cat. And I'd say, Dad, I'm not letting you go until you hug me. And he said, you better let me go, boy. But I would always hug him that way. And I said, no side hugs in my house. No side hugs. My dad taught me so many things that I'm now being able to share to Christian and Joshua. I prayed when I was a little boy because, again, I was raised in a broken home. I prayed and I said, Lord, if you would bless me with a wife, one that I could raise a family with so that their siblings will know that they have full brothers and sisters, I would be forever thankful. I remember that prayer even to this day. I remember how I was positioned on my bed. I remember everything about it. I lifted that prayer up at 10 years old, and God has famously blessed me. He's given me Dana. He's given me Christian and Joshua, who I'm wonderfully proud of. All because I prayed when I was little. And I won't take anything for that prayer, nor will I squander one single day to teach my kids in my failures and in my successes what it is to be a man of God, what it is to serve God in good times and in bad times, to admonish the Lord above all things, because your influence will never leave your kids. Let's pray. Father, today, I thank you so much for fathers. I thank you for each and every father that is in this room. I thank you, Father, for their heart. I thank you, Father, for their love toward their kids. Lord, maybe there's dads in here today that feel like that they have failed, that they've made all the wrong decisions. Maybe there's some dads in here that are older now and their kids are gone, and maybe there's resentment. Maybe they haven't talked to their kids in a long time. Father, your word declares that you have given us the spirit and the ministry of reconciliation. You gave us that because you reconciled us to yourself. You forgave us. And I pray, Father, that for those fathers that may be here today, that there are wedges that are put between them and their kids, I pray in Jesus' name that you would bring them to a low place of humility so that they can reconcile with their kids. And even as I'm praying, some dads may be saying that's impossible. No, I serve a God that all things are possible. My God can do all things. And he can do all things through me, through Christ who gives us strength. And so, Father, I pray today that you would raise up dads, that you would raise them up to a whole different level. That, Father, they would be blessed today. That they would feel honored today. That they would feel like they are in the high place today. Because, Lord, we honor these dads, these fathers today. If your dad is sitting beside you or your husband and wife, would you just put your hand on a dad this morning? Just put your hand on a dad today. Get next to your family members. Danny and Christian, y'all can come on up here with me. Amen. Amen. Father, come before you. Lord, we acknowledge today your wonderful blessing upon this man. Pray over the dads, would you? We just bless the dads here today. We admonish them. We honor them. We uplift them. We pray, Father, that you would encourage and strengthen them. that you would build them up, that you would create in them a new spirit, a new heart, a new mind. In Jesus' name. God, that even in their failures, God, let them see that they can still teach. And that their mountain peak experiences, let them continue to teach. Help us, Father, to acknowledge, Lord, to acknowledge to ourselves that we can be weak and still not show weakness to our children. That it's okay to cry, it's okay to mourn, it's okay to show those things and still be strong. Because, Lord, we know that in you, my weakness is made strong in you. And so, Lord, today, more than anything I can pray, we call upon your help, Father God, to help us to be the man that you have created us to be. Help us to be the fathers, the dads that you have created us to be. Give us grace. Give us wisdom. As we strive to be the best dads we can possibly be. And Father, help us above all things to honor you with all that we are, because we are priests and fathers. And today we celebrate that fact proudly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. And if your daddy's close by you, give him a big old hug. Come here, son. There we go. Give him a big old hug. Celebrate them today. If you're going out to lunch, pay for it, all right? Pay for them, all right? Honor them. And happy Father's Day to everybody. Guys, have a blessed day. Enjoy your day. Guys, for the visitors here for the first time, welcome to New Freedom Church. We're so glad that you are here. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.